The following interview with Mayor Sam Copeland was conducted by phone and has some technical and quality issues. We apologise for this, but believe the content is important and that the interview should be put to air. My name's Paul Tolley. I'm delighted to have Sam Copeland, Mayor of Armidale, in the studio with me for our monthly chat. Good morning, Sam.
Morning, Paul. Great to chat with you again.
I guess what we've got to talk about, the big story, and that's where we should start, is the rail trail vote. So initially there was a vote in council to accept funding and move ahead, and then that vote was lost. There was then, from council, advice that the funding cannot be repurposed. I believe some councillors asked that question. And then there was a rescind motion, second vote, and that was tied, and Councillor Redmond and the chair cast a vote in favour. That was his casting vote. Is that basically what happened, in a nutshell?
Yeah, it is. There was one more piece to it. So it has been a rolling saga, not just in council, but I guess in the community over the past decade, but it sort of has come to a head in the last 2 weeks. So council received the grant of $5.4 million back in 2022, midway through 2022, part of a Black Summer bushfire recovery.
Having originally asked for more, I think, was it originally around $9 million, and then you got roughly 5, maybe 10, I think, close to 10 you asked for.
I think that was right. So now that was well before actually all of the current executive and council were in their positions, and also before the current council was sworn in. Now, because that happened, I think that application would have gone in 2020, probably before, really, it wasn't done with sufficient science behind it as to the amount that was needed. But anyway, we got the money that we got. But the challenge then was that in New South Wales, the rail trail legislation wasn't in place until the end of last year. So whilst we had money to build a rail trail, state government, and this was federal government funding, state government legislation wasn't in place to allow that funding to be utilised for the purpose that it was provided.
So you needed the supporting legislation, and it did surprise me that it came as a bushfire grant. I guess that's another question.
Oh, it's not really. I mean, it is if you're looking for conspiracy, but with the bushfire funding, that went to a lot of different regions to boost the community, because it wasn't just where the actual fires were, at the wider community that had an impact. Everything sort of slowed down. So, yeah, there was direct assistance for farmers and the like that lost land. That was out of different funding buckets. So there are a bunch of different funding buckets around. And so this was just one of those to boost communities and get them back on their feet.
So the legislation, the state legislation went through, there was a council vote and it was lost.
The state legislation was changed, I think, in August, September, October last year, 2023, that it came into effect. Then the officers in council, on advice from Public Works Authority, who looked at the amount of money that we had received, say, 3 years prior or 2 years prior, but based on numbers that were now 3 or 4 years old, realised that through all the COVID inflationary pressures, it just wasn't enough to do what they wanted. But more importantly, the funding window was fast closing. So the way to best utilise that $5.4 million was to start at Armidale and go north. Now, the funding would cover about 20 kilometres of rail trail if it was just applied to construction. But because there's a bunch of studies and things that need to happen, the advice from Public Works Authority was to use a chunk of that money, the $5.4 million, to do all of the necessary preparatory work, Aboriginal impact assessments, heritage assessments, environmental impact, and so on and so forth, get all of that in place for the entire 67 kilometres of the trail, because that can be done relatively quickly, and then use the rest to construct out to the 10 kilometres out to generic station. Now, I guess, so that's the background. But what happened on the 24th, there was a recommendation came up in the council papers. That recommendation didn't actually get floated. It was moved, but then an amended motion came forward that actually removed direction for council officers to begin the process and instead sought further information. So that was the motion that was passed on the 24th. The effect of that was, with no time frame to commence, because all of this $5.4 million needs to actually be spent by March 2025. So it's a fast closing funding window. The effect was that we'd run out of time, and that money would just vanish. It would it just wouldn't be coming to Armidale region.
And so there was an amendment motion put, wasn't there?
It was, yes. So the original motion, the recommendation, nothing becomes a motion until it's moved and seconded.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that was in the business papers, directing staff to crack on, was moved and seconded. Then an amendment was flagged, and if you have a mover and seconder for the amendment, it gets discussed, and if it becomes, and then we're voted on whether that becomes a substantive motion or not. And if that becomes a substantive motion, then we debate it, and anyway, it passed. So the amended motion, yes, I said, sought further information and struck out the direction for staff to crack on.
And that's all the mechanisms, but I guess from the residents' perspective, this is an issue that has split the community, as it's obviously split council, and from the residents' perspective, what they are seeing is there was a vote no to the rail trail, and then there was a rescind motion, and there was a vote yes. So I'm making it very simple, but I think from residents' perspective, that and it's a highly heated argument, of course, in town, as you know, and in council. So that's basically what residents are seeing.
Yeah, look, that's a very good summary. There was a vote no to the rail trail, then 2 weeks later that no vote was overturned, and a yes vote was put up, and the yes vote was carried.
Now, there are other implications, and I'm going to say allegations because I have to be very careful, but when the second vote took place, there was a council member who was not present, and there was an interview on ABC Radio, and there have been allegations that person stayed away from the vote because they felt very pressured by whatever parties. I don't know, and I won't go there. And I guess the reason I'm mentioning this is because there is so much heat, both in council and in the community, about this issue.
Yeah, look, I can't comment on why that councillor didn't attend. I wasn't there in person either. I had a long-standing commitment interstate that I couldn't be there for, but I can't comment on why that councillor wasn't there. I can't speak for anyone else. There is no doubt that there was a huge, following the original, let's call it the no vote, there was significant backlash. And I think that was demonstrated firstly by the petition that was put up by a member of the community that, you know, very quickly got to 5,000 people signed that online petition, effectively calling for council to change their mind. And then councillors, and this is probably, you know, this is certainly mentioned in the council meeting, councillors probably received anywhere between 6 and 10 emails a day from the community.
And I'm going to suggest, because of the heated nature of the debate, that if the initial vote had been the other way, a similar number of emails and contacts would probably have taken place.
Although my view is probably not to that same extent. I think what the end result was, and we might as well be honest here, or certainly this is my genuine opinion, I think there are far more supporters for the rail trail, and certainly far more supporters that we do something with grant funding that has been worked for and received than those that vote to do nothing. That's really what it boiled down to.
And look, I bring the matter of the ABC interview and the councillor that didn't attend, not to cast aspersions in any direction, but just as an indication of the heat of this matter in the community and in council.
Yeah, look, I think the heat in the community is greater than in the council.
Well, I have to point out that both votes went to a casting vote by the chair.
No, the rescission motion.
Oh, no, the first one was 6-4, wasn't it? Yep.
The yes was 6-4.
Mm. We now have the rescind motion passed with the vote of the chair, and we move on. And can there be another motion brought up, or is this basically the end of it? Does council have a regulation?
So look, there were two votes on Monday. There was the rescind motion, which was to, well, rescind the let's call it, for want of a better term, the amended no motion from the 24th. And then there was a notice of motion that went up, which is what enabled the rail trail to progress. And that's the thing that went 3-6-4.
Okay, let's go to something else now. I read in the notes that the transport section of the motion commits Armidale Regional Council to work with the New South Wales Government to provide better public transport in the LGA, including services to Brisbane and between Armidale, Gyra, Glenennis, Inverell and Tenterfield, ideally in a continuous loop. Is this on the cards? Is this a long, long time frame, or is this hopefully soon?
I think hopefully soon. I think that was actually a very good addition to the motion, because at the core of all of this, it's about getting a realistic solution. And as you know, my view is that trains were not a realistic solution, certainly not in the next 30 years. So, and I like to think about the whole thing longitudinally. If we can't do anything with the line, if trains won't be coming back for 30 years, well then yes, let's utilise that corridor for something, rather than leave it dormant in the vague hope that something sometime might possibly sort of happen. But that still doesn't solve the transport solution.
And you and I have talked about the fact that that's dire.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is. A public transport solution north is dire. It'll put it on the agenda further. I understand the state government is doing an integrated transport plan. The minister is visiting Armidale in June. So that will certainly be a topic of conversation with Jenny Aitchison, the Minister for Regional Transport.
And I noted also, and I think this is great, that any future bus services should have wheelchair access and racks to carry bicycles.
I think that's probably, that probably falls to the extent that we can dictate.
And there was even a suggestion that electric trackless trams be used, which are now being used in a trial in Stirling in Western Australia.
That wasn't in the motion.
It was in the... I pulled that out of the notes in the council...
Oh, okay.
Council agenda. Council meeting agenda.
Oh, right. Yes, I think that's probably some of the supporting stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, you did say to me at one stage that you understood that the rail trail and a possible future Armidale to Brisbane rail line could exist still on the same land corridor if the rail trail goes ahead. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it would require the state government wanting to do that.
Of course, it's out of council's hands.
and that's probably been the frustration. I'll come back and talk about that frustration in a moment.
The reason I raised that, Sam, is because that seems to me the major counter to the no rail trail movement is to point out that these two things could coexist potentially.
They could potentially coexist, but I think in reality, if the state government wanted to reactivate that particular corridor, it would go over the top of the rail trail.
All right. Now let's move on to a couple of other things. I think that is the big issue in town at the moment, and I think we've
it is. And probably before we get off it, I understand it has been a heated topic. Hopefully we can move on. It would be good if within the wider community people can lower their cudgels. But it's one of those things where it was a binary choice. It was one or the other. So that's what gave rise to the heat. I hope in the wider community there is no gloating from either side, and also it'd be good if conspiracy accusations didn't exist as well. But and I think by and large the bulk of the community understand that. So it really is one of these. Hopefully we can, to the extent that it's needed, heal.
And you're absolutely right that it was binary, and that's why in the very first time you and I spoke about it, I specifically asked that question, can a rail trail and a possible Armidale to Brisbane rail line coexist on the same land corridor in the future? That was the reason I asked that, was to try and make it less binary and look for lateral possibilities.
Yeah. And probably just one other thing, and this is what I touched on before, there are things that council has responsibility and has control over. Returning the trains, council has no control over that. That is the state government. And we have asked, and many members of the community have asked, and in government speak, the response has been no. In the actual government speak, it was no current plans.
Yes.
But when you get them off the record, it is not going to happen.
But you and I also know that in politics, anything can suddenly become possible.
Yeah, exactly.
And again,
that's why the legislation is written the way it is. If they decide to make it so, they can. Anyway.
Last meeting, we talked a little about the Weeds Board, and I noticed, and I'm going to quote directly, at the time of, and this is a report to council, at the time of writing this report, there is some uncertainty regarding the status of the board of the New England Weeds Authority. The Weeds Authority, given 7 days to respond, has since replied. So is there any update on what's happening with the Weeds Authority?
Yeah, I think it's, and there's nothing in the public domain to talk about this now. The New England Weeds Authority, the minister wrote to the board saying that he intended to appoint an administrator to the New England Weeds Authority, and the board responded and said they would welcome that. So the administrator has not been appointed yet. I imagine that is imminent, and that would mean that the board would be dismissed and the administrator would take over. So there's the New England Weeds Authority is under some significant financial pressure and I believe some governance issues, etc.
And there was also a quote there that said, given the financial uncertainty surrounding the Weeds Authority, it would be prudent at this time to raise an internal reserve.
Yes, so that is the expectation. So if an administrator is appointed, the administrator takes control. The administrator needs to get the organisation back on its financial feet. And given that the shareholders or the members of the New England Weeds Authority are the four councils, Walker, Yarralla, Armidale and Glen Innes, the administrator's first port of call, I imagine, would be to go to those four councils and say, I need you to kick the tin to get this place back on its feet.
Is this a management issue? Have the four councils taken their eye off the ball?
The four councils appoint councillors to the board.
Uh-huh.
And it's those councillors, so Armidale has three councillors on the board, the other councils have one each.
All right, so the board is going to be dismissed. There'll be some money put in, hopefully, by the four councils, an administrator appointed, and then watch the space, I guess.
I guess so. Look, it is a concern, and there are a number of things that I mean, I'm not on the board. You know, we have three Armidale councillors who are on that board. You know, they have far better knowledge of what's going on than I do.
And it's an important function because we're in an agricultural area, like, basically.
It's a very important function. So there's some state government money that hasn't been forthcoming. There have been some attempts to get loans that haven't been successful. My recommendation to find out more would be to interview one or a number of those three councillors to get...
All right, let's move on to a couple of others because we're probably running out of time. Crown Management Act has repurposed or recategorised Crown land controlled by councils into community lands. Is there any implication, particularly financial, for cemeteries around this?
I don't know, Paul. I do know that we'd be likely to have to pay some additional costs of managing the cemeteries, or it's really for the cemeteries to be inspected to the New South Wales government. But I'd have to take that on notice and come back.
Okay, I just ask because cemeteries emotionally figure very, very much at the heart of communities, as you and I know, and they're important places for people, and certainty is probably something that's needed there. The Armidale Traffic Education Centre down on Mann Street has really not been used a lot. I go past and I very rarely see anything happening there. This is a bit of, should have perhaps given you a bit of heads up about this, but is there any potential for using? I mean, I've heard people talking about this area. What can be done? Should it be used? How can it be used? Does council have any plans or any input there?
There is the fire training centre's there.
Yep.
So that lease has been renewed. So that's that one. There used to be the Armidale Cycling Club used to have their Criterion races there, but the tarmac was a bit too chewed up.
What is that? Was that the problem? Uh-huh. Because I know that it used to get the area or the site used to get a lot more use. Yeah. It seems to me, anyway.
Yeah, it did. But the cyclists can't be there. I think, you know, just the asphalt deteriorated too much for them to do that. So, look, as far as I'm aware, there are no plans beyond leasing that site out of the fire training centre.
All right. Now, in 2019, the Armidale Regional Council resolved unanimously to declare we are in a climate emergency. It acknowledges our local and government communities are facing a climate emergency that requires urgent action by all levels of government. That human-induced climate change represents a great threat to humanity, civilization, other species, etc., etc. And I'm very aware of the work you and council have been doing with regards to solar farms and the like, and you've got your eye pretty much on the ball with that. And I noticed that there's a planning agreement for Armidale battery energy storage at 89 Ethorpe. That's the Transgrid site, isn't it?
It is. It's adjacent to the substation there, yes.
Yep. Is that going ahead in the short term, do you know, or is that just an approval for an organisation, business, whatever, to erect that sort of facility?
Look, because it's an adjoining land for group to build a big battery.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
Is that likely to go ahead in the near future?
It is. That's a likely 2-year build, as I understand it. So they go through some different stages. So the first one is a scoping stage that they then submit to government that issues them an EIS that requires, or a SEARS, that requires the proponent to prepare a lot of studies, provide a lot of advice on what the project will look like. And included in that is, you know, was this planning agreement?
And that basically allows them to go ahead without that agreement. There's no point in doing any scoping or expend any funds.
Well, they've actually spent a lot of funds to get to that point.
Right.
So they have spent a lot of funds. There's been a fair bit of time, effort, and money has gone into it to get to the point where they are.
And is this battery system designed to support Armidale or is it a greater region?
No, it's the national grid.
It's a national grid, okay.
Yeah, so that planning agreement included an amount to go into our future fund, and it also included $20,000 per annum for rail trail maintenance.
Oh, that's good. All right, that may be where I picked it up. And while we're in that area, the Tesla Supercharger license agreement. There haven't been any charging stations built yet, have there?
No, there haven't. And I think the agreement that you're referring to there is an updated agreement. I think they're going to be cracking on fairly shortly. So that's to, I think, put some Tesla charging stations in the car park sort of between Barbecues Galore and Dan Murphy's.
Uh-huh. And what about the one over where the coach station was when we had coaches?
You know, that's still there. That's an NRMA charging station.
Is it?
I believe. Yeah. I think we're aiming to bring a lot more of those in. So with some of these planning agreements that happen with the renewable energy proponents that are coming to town, certainly the Oxley Solar Farm in the planning agreement we've signed with them, that included the installation of 4 EV charging stations.
This is great because when I look at it, Armidale is pretty much halfway on the New England between Brisbane and Armidale. So in many ways, it's a natural stopping place. And in terms, again, you and I have talked about bringing visitors in, tourism, everything else. Halfway is probably where you might stop for lunch if you've left early in the morning. And we know it takes longer to charge an EV than to put petrol into a car. So it's the obvious place for people to stop, charge the vehicle and have lunch and spend a bit of money.
Well, that's right. So we'd be looking to have more of those EV charging, the new ones in town. So
we need as many as we can. And my last question, and we did talk about this last week, I think I brought up the matter of the tip shop, and you said that the men's shed were interested in the site. Do you know if that's been signed as an agreement, that whether the men's shed will be moving there?
It's certainly passed at council, so I can't imagine it wouldn't have been signed. And that is for the men's shed. That's to go into the old site.
Yeah, the old tip shop site, yeah.
The old tip shop site. Mm. Yes, that's right.
And it looks to me like it would be a nice fit because they have to get out of where they are, I believe.
They do. They have to get out of where they are. This is a much more cost-effective solution. It can house all of their gear. They can make as much noise as they like.
Yes. Look at these old fellas running around yelling at the top of their lungs. I have an interesting way to say that.
I think also their equipment's noisy, but yes, they might be. I think that's a very good outcome.
Yes, I like that as well. Sam, thank you as always for talking with us. Some fairly contentious matters to cover this week, but thanks for your transparency and clarity on that, the Weeds Authority, the rail trail, and I think we probably know where we stand now, and I think probably you've given us as much as possible. So thank you very much as always, and we'll talk again in a month.
Pleasure, Paul. Look forward to it. Bye.
Take care. Bye now.